First he was a wrestler, then he almost became a priest, and now Tom Goss is one of the rising stars in the nation's gay music scene. But just because he's not wearing a singlet doesn't mean that Tom's not ready to fight for what's right.
His new album, The Politics of Love, has an interesting angle. The music comes with a free workshop on initiating a meaningful discussion on marriage equality with people who may disagree. Tom is touring the country with his musician pal Jeremiah Clark, and they made a quick stop on their way from Nashville all the way to Appleton, Wisconsin, just to tape a show with us.
Join us for an incredible live music session, not just with Tom, but with the powerful Jeremiah Clark, as they play us some beautiful love songs they wrote.
Tom also puts our gaydar to the test as he reads several couples' personal love stories, and we try and guess if they are gay or not.
Hot news! Pope Benedict continues to put his Prada shoe-covered foot in his mouth, asking all Christians, everybody, to repent for the molestation cover-up of the Catholic Church.
Melissa Etheridge announces her legal separation from her partner, Tammy Lynn Michaels.
A beautiful pair of gay swans set up nest at the world's only swanery in England.
And an amazing offer from one of our most dedicated listeners.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is brought to you by fantastic listeners just like you.
And we'd like to announce today that our listener Drew in the East Coast is matching all donations made to the Feast of Fun site and mobile app development fund. So if you go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution today or this weekend, all your donations will be matched dollar for dollar. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Guess what, everyone? Today is my birthday, and you're listening to the Feast of Fun. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion. Happy birthday, Fausto.
Thank you. I'm going to ring my own tambourine. How you doing? Yeah. And you're giving me a little whistle blow.
A celebration whistle.
Yeah, blow it on the right side there.
You know what? We need a little pointer that says blow here.
It actually has that written.
It does?
I'm so excited, Mark. We have two of my favorite musicians in the home studio, Tom Goss and Jeremiah Clark. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
It's so great. So Tom and Jeremiah have rented an old car. You guys bought it like at a yard sale and are driving across the country, and now you're here in Chicago tonight.
That's right.
Where are you performing tonight?
We're at the Underground Lounge tonight.
With one of our Feast of Fun favorites.
Stephen Leonard.
Stephen Leonard.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Who's featured in the Time Out article. They were like, they didn't put your names in
there.
Poor Tom. Yeah, it happens sometimes.
But you guys are phenomenal musicians.
Thank you.
For people who don't know who Tom Goss is, he after the events of September 11th, he had a nervous breakdown and became a priest. You quit being a wrestler, high school wrestler, jock, and you became a priest.
Uh-huh.
And because you didn't enjoy the sexualized atmosphere of the monastery, you decided to become a gay rights activist.
I'm always amazed how you know my story better than I do.
Am I right? Is that it? Is that it?
I mean, sure. I mean, why not?
That's okay.
Be that for today. Yeah, let's let that be it.
So what did I not get right?
Pretty much the whole thing, but that's...
Okay, you or have you not ever been a member of the Catholic Church?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I've done that.
And you were a wrestler.
I mean, chronologically, yes. Chronologically, it's not false.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we agree. Well, I mean, just clarify, I'm all ears here.
So, yeah.
You know.
You're raised.
It is my birthday, so you basically have to agree with everything I say.
No, you're absolutely right.
Well, Fausto, I have a birthday present for you.
Is it Tom Goss in a singlet dressed up like a priest?
I could be, if you play your
How
cards
exciting.
Right.
How exciting.
But no, it's from a listener, actually. It's from a listener, Drew, who wants to make a donation to the show. So he said, this is what he wrote.
Okay.
I was listening to the show yesterday and heard Fausto mention that Friday was his birthday and that it would be great if folks to donate to the iPhone Development Fund as a gift to you. But then I thought, what if instead I give Fausto the gift of a matching gift challenge? So here's what I'm thinking. What if on Friday's show you announce that one of your listeners, me, is offering to match any donations submitted on Friday and over the weekend as a gift for Fausto's birthday?
Drew, thank you so much.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is really exciting, and it makes all the difference to not just paying for our mobile site app development fund to get us onto the BlackBerry, into the iPad, iPhones, and other mobile iPod and iPod-like devices, but it also gets us to continue doing the site and paying for the expensive bandwidth bills that because our show gets more listenership, and you know, so it's really exciting and it makes all the difference. If you go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution now, between now and the weekend, Drew, one of our will match it.
And they can also PayPal money if they just visit PayPal. Just go to PayPal money to mail@feastoffun.com.
Salute to you, Drew, and all the listeners. And so, Tom Goss and Jeremiah Clark, you guys are going to rock us out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So you have a new album called The Politics of Love.
Yep.
And you're going to start off us off with a song called Back to Arkansas or Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah. Arkansas. What is Arkansas? Back to Arkansas. Saw? Sass?
Arkansas. Say
Arkansas.
I have no idea.
You have no.
You wrote a song and you don't know what it is?
I was wandering around the house playing a chord on my guitar and out of my mouth came, back to Arkansas.
You don't know anybody in Arkansas?
No.
Have you ever been to Arkansas?
Have you ever driven through?
Okay.
Yeah. I've driven through Arkansas too. Okay. Little Rock, Arkansas. Home, birthplace of President
Clinton. I want to go to Hot Springs. Do they think they really have hot springs down there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
And
yeah.
Hot men.
Let's go get in the hot springs. Let's go down there and take a road trip.
Well, imagine yourself in a hot springs as Tom Goss, accompanied by Jeremiah Clark, play Back to Arkansas. And if you visit our YouTube channel and I had the time to do it, I'll put up a video of them doing it. The music, the song.
And wandering trains roll down the tracks. His tired feet, they ache and crack. Fly to Arkansas to see your face. Back to Arkansas, call it grace. In many queens, they sing a tune of kingdoms lost for me and you. And though the sun it fades to the west, still my heart it lays in your chest. So lay me down. So lay me down. So lay me down. And into your arms. And once there, the memories of coffee cups, united trees. And I left you stumbling for tender words. You left me tumbling down through this world. So lay me down. So lay me down. So lay me down. And into your, when I fall, you let me know. Your tender hand, your steady soul. With me, he now. to lift me up again. Climbing back up and by my side, familiar face, familiar eyes. Fly to Arkansas, elude the sun. Back to Arkansas, back to love. And back to love.
Yay. Yay! You guys are awesome.
Thank yes, you. Applaud yourselves.
Thank applaud, you. Applaud. Fully that in. Fully that in.
I'm applauding Jeremiah.
Oh, you are wonderful, Tom.
Thank you. You're wonderful.
Now, Tom, you have been sincerely, you've been very active in the civil rights movement for gay and lesbian people, and even transgender people and bisexual people too. And yet you, your Politics of Love album is not just a collection of music, it's also a workshop.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to just release another album because, you know, mm-hmm. who gives a fuck, right? I mean,
well, people care about you.
Music. Come on.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to, you know, these are songs that I've been writing for a couple of years, and I never wanted to release this. I always kind of wanted to keep these really personal, and it's really hard to step out there in that way. And, So I got a lot of demand for the songs, and finally I decided to release them, but I didn't want to release them because I don't feel like it's my struggle. It is my struggle, but it's all of our struggle. Mm-hmm. And,
the struggle for what?
Marriage equality.
Okay.
So I really wanted to do something that reflected that. And so I created not only, a CD and a music video, but a whole workshop that includes PowerPoint presentation, handout materials, background materials, discussion questions, so you can lead your own workshop and discussion wherever you're at. It's really
So cool. Where do you envision this project? Is it like in schools, or is it just like a community center?
For schools, for community centers, for churches, in your own home. It's really quite a complete little workshop that you can do almost anywhere.
So I can lead a workshop and Fausto has to follow it. Be like, no, Fausto, next. So what do you guys do? What does it entail, this workshop?
Well, like I said, the primary part of the workshop is a PowerPoint presentation that leads you to discussion questions and leads you to other handouts in a video that you, mm-hmm. you then watch. So right now the runtime is about 60 to 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. There's not a hook at the end that sends you to like Exodus International, because they have all sorts of crazy programs out there. Like, let's talk about gay stuff, you know, and like it kind of like leads you into that tar pit, and the next thing you know, they're like, I have you in like in a concentration camp trying to get. To make you go straight.
I was wondering that about the census, right? Uh-huh. Like, now that you can put that you're gay on the census. I was wondering if...
Well, you can't really put gay on the census. Yeah, yeah. Kinda.
Are they going to start knocking on my door and rounding up the gays? I was wondering that.
No. That stuff's all confidential.
For money, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
did you fill out the census? Did you guys say you were married husband? Did you queer the census?
Sure. We queered it, but I'm not sure what he said. I mean, okay. We're not technically married.
Did Mike
yet.
Do the same thing to you that Mark did to me? It's like he filled out the census and I never even got to see it. And I was like,
yes, I didn't see it.
It's a historical document. I want to take a look at that thing, you know?
I think you should dump it.
I said you could open it up and look at it.
Are you saying I should break up with Mark because he incorrectly filled out the census?
Should I dump Mike too?
Yeah, we can run off and go into a yeah. monastery together.
Awesome.
I'll dress up as a wrestler and you dress up as a priest and you can pretend to molest me.
Ouch. Your pedo pope.
Now, so your workshop, seriously, actually has some really interesting tools. And one of them is a game.
Yeah.
Where you read real life love stories and people's gaydar have to detect whether the couple in the story is a same sex couple or not.
Of course, and I mean, yeah, exactly. And so what I want to do is facilitate a dialogue between people. And everybody has kind of their stereotypes about what's a gay couple and what's a straight couple. And if we kind of turn it on its head, you know, who's going to...
So when you read these stories, like, did you pull out the gender of the characters
in the
story?
Absolutely.
So it was like, it wasn't like, Tom and I went shopping at, you know, at
Actually,
sometimes I do
leave the gender in, but I pretty much just use people's initials. So it's really interesting.
Are we going to play the game now?
Do you want to play one?
I want to play the game.
Let's play.
good. So okay. Is the first story like, we were on Fire Island last weekend? Okay.
No, I definitely did get some of those, and I had to really make some adjustments, and okay. it was
difficult. But hang on a second. So you were trying to pull out the gay out of these stories?
It was like, you know, instead of, you know, I met at Ramrod. You know, we met at Ramrod. It was
we met
more
at a
like
bar.
We met at a bar. Okay. At a bar. Yeah. So
genericized it.
Exactly.
Okay, so Jeremiah, you haven't heard these stories before.
Never.
Mark and I have never heard these stories. Either. And the listeners, you can weigh in too. You can pretend and see how good you are. Pass the quiz. Is your gaydar strong or not?
Okay, you want to hear one? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the first one. It's entitled Laughter and Love in Boston.
Gay.
Well, let me say the story first.
Well, you can just tell from the title.
Laughter
well,
and
that's
Love.
That's because I wrote that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Laughter. What is it that makes that gay sounding?
Yeah, I wrote it. I'm a sappy gay man, okay?
All right, let's hear it. Okay, Laughter and Love in Boston.
I wrote the titles, not the stories.
Okay.
Wait till the story's over.
DL and I met in a club in Boston on St. Patrick's Day, 1990. We walked home that night across the Charles River, and we saw the Prudential Tower lit up with hearts around each side. We took it as a good omen, and 1 year later we were married at the Arlington Street Church.
Straight.
Over the next
Mark, did you let him finish the story?
Over the next 14 years, we lived, loved, and laughed in Boston, Atlanta, San Francisco, London, and Amsterdam. In 2004, we decided our couple should become a family, and we welcomed our first son, Christopher. Our second son, Gabriel, followed a year later. At 20 years together, we look back on a life filled with love, commitment, and integrity. We formed a forever family that renewed our purpose and drive, and we will remain in all things happy.
Okay, yay. don't answer it yet. Now read the second story, and then we'll compare the two.
Got it. Okay, where are we? Okay.
XM and I were having a great time on the sling. Okay. When he pulled out the lube and
body
the dildo.
Butter. The second story is entitled Too Much to Talk About. The biggest highlight of our marriage and our love is that we both would never have thought how deep our love can be and how connected you can be with your partner. Respect, communication, uncompromising support, laughter, and trust are what highlights our relationship. When JV cooks for me, as he is right now, he is making sushi, and I watch him, he makes it with so much love, it puts a big smile on my face. We are there for each other no matter what. We've been through so many trials over the past 10 years. No matter how much it affected us, it only brings us closer together. After being together for 14 years, we still cannot shut up, and often I'm even late for work. We have so much to talk about. I love it. We are the best of friends, and that is the secret to our relationship.
Okay, so this is like the match game.
Aww,
write
so
down your
sweet.
Answer. Okay, so couple number one, Mark.
Couple number one is gay. Mm-hmm.
And couple number two?
Is straight.
Okay, why did you think couple number one was gay?
Couple number one is gay because they move from city to city a lot, and then they're having children. Just the way they described having the kids kind of sounded as though it would be a gay person adopting. And then second, it was they're straight because the husband is cooking food for the wife, and so like to her that's a real big deal.
Okay, Jeremiah?
I have to agree. I think the first one's a trick question because of the Arlington Street Church. So I definitely agree that the first one's gay and the second one is straight.
Oh, the thing that threw me off about the first one, though, is they met on St. Patrick's Day, because that's when straight people get drunk and fuck.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah, so that kind of threw me off at first, but then when they figured out all the places they live together, that they're probably gay.
I think definitely the first one is a gay couple, because they talk about their kids, like Mike Huckabee talks about adopting puppies.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, because they have that sort of like, you know, we welcomed him into our lives, which is kind of like, you know, what is that? Like, it was like you bought an iPad.
Oh, I'm sure. But listen, we're making fun, but I'm sure those people love those children much as they love their.
They probably love those kids even better than actual parents do, you know. If I was a kid.
They are actual parents.
And I'm saying. But like if they yes. plop the kids out of their womb.
Yes. As if their vagina. They gave birth to them themselves.
I think if I was a kid. And
well, why
I
want, can't it be a lesbian?
Well, this is, I'm going to say, well, I'm not finished yet. Couple number two, I think because they were busy making sushi at home that they're lesbians.
Oh.
So it's a trick question. And they're both gay couples.
But it's definitely number two is written by a woman.
Yes, and it's a lesbian.
That's true.
It's okay. A lesbian couple number two, right or what? Okay, so now you're gonna tell us.
Okay.
We both. Yeah.
The first couple is gay.
Okay.
We got it right.
Yay!
Let me tell you, it's David and Todd. They live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh,
they're really sweet.
I'm sure they are. Shout out to you, David and Todd.
Yes, and we don't think that your children are iPads.
No, gay parents are the best parents in the world. They really are.
I want to be reincarnated as a child of a gay parent and then play my dads against each other. Be like, Dad, have you been working out? You look great.
But kids always rebel, you know? They always rebel.
So, you know, like my younger sister, like she totally plays us against each other, I think. And so in a lot of ways, like my niece and my younger siblings.
You can do that with a straight couple as well as a gay couple.
Yeah, but I'm saying like Mark and I are sort of like the fathers to some of the younger people in our family, and they play us against each other.
Oh, yeah. If we had kids, they would totally play us.
And we'd be like...
Faust would spoil it rotten, and I'd end up having to be the mean guy.
Yeah, that's how I am too. I would, you know, spank the kids and they'd run and Mike would cry and hold them.
I'd be the kind of parent that would like be like super sweet and then one day I'd snap and kill them both. Wow. And I'd go, it's like, do you want to see me in jail? Then don't stress me out. And so your homework.
Number two.
What's number two is a straight couple.
Yeah,
so you guys got it right. It's Jerry and Ilka and they live in Orlando, Florida.
Now, how butch is Jerry? He strikes me as a bit of a lesbianic straight guy.
Why? Because he's making sushi?
Are
you just bitter that you were wrong? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I'm not bitter.
You said straight, maybe lesbian.
They just had lesbian energy.
Yeah.
Give us one more. You got one more?
Give me one more.
I got one more.
Because I like this game.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
A whirlwind of love was not what I was looking for, but the day RB opened the door, I knew my heart belonged to him. I never gave so much thought to love at first sight until RB came into my life. Our love grew faster than I could have imagined. We were as one heart, one soul, one mind, and two bodies. RB was the best thing to ever happen to me. The love we shared, the life we had, we were both so equally blessed. Our love was endless, our time together was not. Our love lasted 4 days short of 10 years when the love of my life passed away.
Oh.
I never knew how it was to lose somebody you so adored, so loved, so cared for. It took my heart and shattered it, leaving me to face the world alone. It has taken a long time to gather the pieces and try to move on. RB was the love of my life. He remains in my heart and in my thoughts daily. I miss the passion, the love, and the life we had. Those 10 years with him were so short, yet they were the best of my life. I know he watches over me. He touches my heart daily to let me know he is still with me. And I know one day somewhere we will meet again.
Dude, what a way to bring us down. Oh my God. Did you make that one up?
That is the most depressing story I've ever heard.
So totally gay. They met on a personal ad or something. And so we opened the door for a hookup and then they had sex and then they fell in love.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What do you think, Jeremiah?
I actually think it's straight. I don't know.
I have no comment.
Why are you laughing at this person?
Because it was like so sad.
It's like over the top.
It was sad. I just thought of Debbie.
But that's how it feels. You know what? I can't say. True.
I would listen if you died. I would be even probably more devastated than that.
I would write the word. Yeah, 100 times more. But the fact that it's like put in this story, I guess it just really and detached from the person. Mm-hmm. It strikes me as kind of funny.
It's the detachment, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the identity or who
I guess
the person
I don't
is.
See it detached from a person.
Because you know the person.
I guess
you know
maybe that's true.
That's probably what it is. So what's the skinny?
You're going to guess or what?
I think it's a lesbian couple still.
It is a gay couple.
Well, it's a lesbian couple. You don't have any lesbian couples.
Don and Randolph. I know. I have a couple.
Okay.
And he passed away May 26, 2008. They live in Greensboro, North Carolina.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
So why don't you play
Did they meet like in a personal ad? Did I get it right? Is that what happened? When he opened the door
for their hookup? I don't think they met in a personal ad.
He was a vacuum cleaner salesman.
Because I mean, he opened the door and then he was there, so it was probably like for a sex hookup.
What, you know, he opened the door.
I met Fausto. We were in bed within the hour.
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I could ask him, but
Okay.
I don't, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't maybe we just have a different mind, because I don't
perceive that. Well, when you say he opened the door, do you think he was like a church, he was the usher at church or something?
No, he was a vacuum cleaner salesman. He walked in and he started sucking.
I think they were at a party mm-hmm. yeah. and he walked in the door.
It was a party in his mouth, hey.
And that the taste of his sweet, sweet cum will... Tom Goss and Jeremiah Clark are our guests on today's Feast of Fun, and Tom has a workshop and new album, Politics of Love.
I think we should go.
Say what you want to say.
Well, I'm excited for people to hear this next song, You Don't Question Love, because it's gorgeous and it talks a lot about.
Not questioning love.
About the power of love, regardless of the couple. So,
okay. Let's hear it.
You're
going to play it for me.
I'm going to play it for you, but there's also a music video as well that's similar to the story, with people from all over the world sent me their actual wedding videos. It's really cool.
Oh.
And it's on. So this is the music video to You Don't Question Love includes footage of all these people's wedding
videos. Well, it includes a music video, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's really cool. So.
You don't question love. You let it be. You don't give the right to some, then take that right from me. And if it's family you want, then welcome to my home. Love is something my family owns. You don't tell a child you can't be raised here, and I can see their eyes and in them questioning and fear. 'Cause a family, they know, is one that takes you home, loves you more than you'll ever know, and take it fast now, or take it slow, your deepest breath you know deserves one more, 'cause I'll never kiss the face of a more beautiful soul. You don't question love, you set it free, you let it grow to something everyone can see. And if you look into your eyes, you will see your love in mine, and you will bless it, and you will bless it, and you will bless it. No, you don't question love.
Yay. That's fantastic.
Tom Goss. Oh my goodness. So Tom Goss, you are trying to educate communities and churches. Have you actually, with your workshop and album Politics of Love, it comes with a soundtrack?
Yeah, no, absolutely. People are using it. It's a lot of content, and it's only been out for about 10 days, and people are starting to understand it and understand the scope of it, and it's really exciting. So if you go to thepoliticsoflove.com, then you can download it all for free.
You and your partner are actually like have had a wedding marriage ceremony?
No, we're engaged. We're getting married on the 2nd of October. I'm very excited.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
are you doing it in Chicago so I can come to your wedding?
Wait, so if it's not in Chicago and you're not coming?
I'll try to make it.
Is it in DC? Are you going to do it in DC?
You were going to do it, yeah, on a mini golf course. We're really excited.
Oh, you really are going to.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You guys were going to get married last year on Columbus Day, but then they had, what was it, the Marriage Equality March.
The Marriage Equality ruined everything.
Ruined your marriage.
So what are the benefits of marriage? Why get married at all? Why fight for marriage?
Well, that's a good question. There are, let me get I got
pull up your PowerPoint presentation.
Pull up my PowerPoint presentation.
You need like one of those little red little laser tent like things.
I know, right? No, I saw somebody doing a PowerPoint yesterday. I thought, oh, I need one of those. There are actually 1,138 rights and benefits that are granted to married couples in the United States that aren't granted to same-sex couples. And so joint parental rights, status as next of kin for hospital visits, crime victim recovery, medical care, Social Security and Medicare, wrongful death benefits, sick leave, bereavement, child support, health insurance, tax credit, joint housing for the elderly, and go on and on.
Joint housing for the elderly, because if Mark and I ever need to go into a joint housing as elderly gay couple, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
Unless we were legally married.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and you know, our, you want to
dress up like a lady.
Got a sex change. If I got a sex change as a grandma and became like a
we
granny
could get married
Fausto,
then.
Granny tranny.
Granny tranny Fausto.
Would you mind that very much? I would still want my dick. It's like, listen, with Viagra, my dad was fucking till he died.
I know.
The day he died. You want to hear this story?
That's awkward.
Please. Oh.
This is a really fascinating story.
This is
weird. So after my dad died, my sister was going through his paperwork and found this letter where he was writing to this woman he had sex with in the retirement home at the nunnery. So he picked up this broad at the old folks' home and took her back to his like condominium, and he wrote this letter like, "My dear, thank you so much for showing me the pleasures that I thought I would never get to experience again. It was truly a night I shall never forget.
It's awkward.
But I have to also tell you that your body was disgusting.
It smelled like
death.
Something was rotting.
Like something was rotting.
No, for real?
For real. He saw this letter.
And it was like, there's something inside you rotting. And then...
and then she died of cancer.
She died of cancer. Yeah. Weird. Like a month later or something crazy.
So like my dad could like...
Who writes that in a letter?
His crazy father.
And the crazy thing about his father, too, is like he would type these things. And so when he would type them, he would use carbon paper. So he would type them up in triplicate. So he had a copy that he sent that he saved for himself. Two copies he saved for himself. And then one copy he sent to her.
Isn't that a great story?
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's why you wonder why Fausto's nuts. It's in the blood, honey.
Colorful, darling. Blood. Colorful. So, I mean, but seriously, like, I think a lot of people perceive the fight for marriage equality as something for the rich and powerful and elite. But really, it is about people who don't have access to healthcare, people who don't have a lot of money or access to lawyers that they need. Marriage equality.
Of course. Well, I mean, it's for the rich and it's for the poor. It's for everybody.
But it really impacts. If you're wealthy, you can hire lawyers. You can do things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those rich people lose a lot of money when their partner dies because they don't get that inheritance benefit, and they can take upwards of like I think it's like almost like 1/3 of your estate.
That's fucked up. You know,
it's fucked up.
Whereas, if you were married, they don't get a dime.
You buy the house and then you pay for it again, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, check this out. Melissa Etheridge just announced today that she's splitting with her partner Tammy Etheridge, also known as she has a different name though, Tammy Lynn. Tammy Lynn Michaels. Tammy Lynn Michaels. So they're splitting up, according to Melissa Etheridge's publicist. The couple exchanged vows in 2003. In 2004, Melissa was diagnosed with breast cancer. And shortly thereafter, in 2006, Tammy gave birth to their two children, Miller and Johnny Rose, conceived through an anonymous sperm donor, not David Crosby, who she had a kid with her and Julie Cypher. Did you know that?
What?
It was David Crosby and Julie Cypher had a kid together when Julie Cypher was married to Melissa.
I think Etheridge had a baby with David Crosby. She carried that baby, David Crosby's baby? I think so. Yeah, because I think they wanted a musical kid.
That's a big baby.
Who's carrying those babies? You know? So she has like four kids altogether then.
Yeah, so it's a big family, you know, and stuff. And it's never a happy time when a couple splits up, and especially they're in the public line attention.
Well, and it's, you know, they have kids together. Who knows what the reason is? Maybe they're just kind of opening things up and moving on, or I don't know. You know, it's like Rosie O'Donnell and Kelly, so they're like, well, we're still a family. We have kids together. What are you going to do?
I just, you know, it is heartbreaking because, you know, people are fighting for marriage equality, but part of the marriage is also not all relationships last.
No, they don't. Know? What is it? Half of marriages end in divorce.
I know.
Half.
And just because you're gay doesn't mean that you're exempt from that as well. So.
But I think, though, too, with like so many people that have like that have just stuck together over time, like people like us, you know, that don't have that certificate that say they're married, is like when they go and finally do get married, they know it's going to last because they've probably been together for years already. But I've also heard like people say like, oh, we're never getting married because all our friends that get married, they always get divorced.
Yeah.
I think when you get married, sometimes people take a lot for granted and they're like, well, we're married now. You know, so they it's
so
kind
you're
of like
stuck
a
with
carte
me.
Blanche to be an asshole. To be,
yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
What
get a divorce? That's what Alyssa Etheridge was saying.
Yeah, she's just like,
And she's like, I am. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean,
I have a crazy news article. I just think this is hysterical. I'm just going to bring it up now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle because it's too good to wait. So there's a company out there called Beach Black, and they make nail polish, and they have a new nail polish color, and it's a pearly milky white. Guess what it's called?
I know what
semen.
It is. Semen.
Jizz. And they say it pretty much looks like what it's supposed to, but and they say it's kind of punk and feminine at the same time. So you just wear it on there. Just make sure you don't swallow it.
Now you can take the fingernails and hold them around your neck and do yourself a pearl necklace.
Mm-hmm. Pearl necklace.
It gives biting your nails a whole new meaning.
A whole new meaning.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
I'm going to have to get some of that.
Jeremiah, you're traveling with Tom.
Yes.
And you guys are like sharing hotel rooms together. So are you guys ready to kill each other? Because when you're touring.
We're happy so far.
Because you guys are so easygoing and so much fun to be around. So
it's not difficult. You would think it would be, but it's really not that difficult.
Does anyone snore or like, do you guys spoon together in bed?
Not yet.
Not generally.
Do you guys get single beds or like one big queen size bed?
We haven't stayed in hotels yet. You know, of the great things about traveling as much as I do is you have friends everywhere you go and people are gracious enough to open their homes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
as
wonderful.
He's looking
it was kind of funny. Yeah, you could spend the night here. There was a, what was I going to say? Jack McEnroth from Project Runway put on his Facebook that he was going to Atlanta for some kind of regional swimming tournament. And he's like, hey, anybody got a place I can stay? And people are like, are you crazy? You can't do this on Facebook. And he's just like, bitch, I got a box cutter.
Yeah.
He's like, I will stay there, and if they fuck with me,
because we did that, we stayed with the listeners.
You stayed with me.
I stayed with you.
Well, we know you. I mean, but these were the people we had never met before, and we had just exchanged email addresses to each other. And luckily, like they were all really nice people.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Rain
Bill. People are really nice. That's what I learned by doing this.
But you know, all it takes is one crazy person with a pillow to suffocate the life out of you.
You know, to gas you while you sleep.
You got my back, though, right, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I've got a box cutter. Don't worry.
So where are you touring? Because you guys are on tour till like what, mid June or something?
Yeah, we're gonna be pretty much everywhere all over the country. But we're in Chicago tonight, Milwaukee tomorrow night. We're in Kansas City on the 23rd, Seattle on May 7th, Portland on May 8th, San Francisco on May 11th. Fort Lauderdale on May 25th. We're going to be all points in between as well. So I'm just hitting parts of them. So
you're going from like the Pacific Northwest on May 11th all the way to the extreme Southeast.
I know, right? Yeah, I know.
And 4 and 2 weeks. Wow.
Yeah, you know, the Tucson to Dallas drive is really the killer for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tucson, Arizona to Dallas. How many hours is that? Like 10,
know,
12?
15.
Yeah, it's 15.
Wow. There's a lot. There's just like, and there's really nothing. It's like Western Texas.
You gotta find out where the glory holes are on
that. You know, masturbating is a great way to pass the time when you're driving. I wonder how many truck drivers do that. You know?
I've tried. I just can't get away with it.
You can't?
No.
Why?
Because I'm too busy working. We work the entire time we're in the car.
Oh, I see. Because you pull out your cell phones and you eat laptops.
Any point in time when we're on Facebook, pretty much on the tour, that means one of us is on Facebook and the other is because one's driving and the other one's sitting with the computer on.
So you're doing it on your mobile device or on the...
No, we're not cool enough to have really good...
So you do it on your computer because you have that little wireless thing that you stick in there. Oh,
absolutely.
Okay. Hey, that's cool enough.
That's great. I actually prefer that better, you know?
I do too.
Until you get an iPad.
I got an iPhone, but I got the two. You know, I didn't want to change my provider, so I hacked it.
Oh,
but I got two. But it's too new, so I only hacked it about 90%, and I can't unlock the last 10%. And I have to wait till the new hack comes out.
Oh,
it's really upsetting.
Verizon, when
When will it happen?
Now, Jeremiah, tell us about yourself, because you're here, and you're also a phenomenal musician.
Thank you.
And you just, you're like a... You're just so quiet right now.
Well, that's
right. Tell us about yourself. So you are from Philadelphia or Pittsburgh?
I'm from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. Yeah. I've been there for about 5 years, originally from Tennessee. And I love it. It's a great city. The music scene there is awesome. And I'm a solo artist. So we have a good time.
And so you have a song for us. Are you going to play for us?
Yes. Yes, of course.
What are you going to do for us?
It's a song called Come On, a comma, Autumn. I want to make sure there's a differentiation. It's Come On, Autumn.
It's not a guy named Autumn.
No, no.
Is it a girl named Autumn?
Summer, spring, winter, fall. No, the season. So it's a good song. I'll play it for you.
Come on, Autumn, the bottle's empty. Words, they don't mean anything. Summer's stealing, you're feeling guilty. But colors don't bleed without pain. Not everything gone wrong is a mistake. Show me something before it all turns to gray. Give me color, show me magic. Take the pain back, I've learned my lesson. Show me mercy, give me wisdom. To keep the past from being present. Come on, come on, Autumn, you've got 'em cornered. Now it's time to let 'em go. Never ending, the end of stories. Faces familiar, but without hope. Not every gazing I could be true love. Show me something before I give it all up. Give me color, show me magic. Take the pain back, learn my lesson. Show me mercy and give me wisdom. To keep the past from being present. Come on, Autumn. Come on, Autumn. Time to let go. I'm glass. I cannot see when things must pass. Not realize after it ends. But then it's time to start again. A season strange. I too will try to take the pieces of my life and beauty back out to beautiful. Else I'm left with nothing and no one to hold. Take the pain back, learn my lesson. Show me
and mercy. Give me wisdom to keep the path from being present. Come on out, ooh. Come on out, ooh. Forget me.
With Tom Goss on the guitar. That is amazing. This is one of the best music shows we've had in a long time.
You guys are phenomenal.
Thanks. Since last week, right?
Mm-hmm. We haven't had a musician on in a while.
So it's you guys are really, it's a great way to celebrate my birthday. Mm-hmm. And just, it's a delight.
I meant to learn happy birthday before I came here.
Yeah, can you guys
know happy birthday?
I totally forgot.
Happy birthday,
happy. Yeah.
we can't afford to pay for the licensing of it anyway.
Michael Jackson will sue you from the grave.
He doesn't own it anymore.
I thought he owned it for a while, though.
I don't know. How the hell do you own
Happy Birthday?
Because it's copyright.
It's written by some school teachers.
It's like owning Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
That's also copyright.
No, it's not.
Happy Birthday, Twinkle Star. Something like that. Actually, I don't think Twinkle Twinkle Little Star
is
copyright.
Isn't it?
I don't know
it's
who composed
no,
it.
No, it's totally something like
yeah,
that.
It's like,
yeah,
I think it's Beethoven.
Yeah.
But they put the words in later.
Right? Do you guys ever do any classical music when you perform together?
All the time.
Like
every night.
A jig?
Yeah. No, I don't know anything about
rondo.
Classical music. I don't even know what chords I play.
Really? Yeah. Are you like the Beatles? Like you can't read or write?
They can't read or write.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that the Beatles were like completely illiterate.
Come on.
Yes, that's true.
When you talk about literacy, though, you have to talk about really levels of literacy. There's people that can kind of read certain things, like, you know, the menu at McDonald's, but they can't really read like a paragraph and understand.
Like John Lennon. Handwriting looks so much like Yoko Ono's because she wrote all the stuff for him.
No way. Shut up.
It's horrible.
She's like, I'm going to give you all my money. I love you, Yoko.
So, I mean, what a phenomenal birthday, though, that it was so kind of Drew to make matching donations to anybody who donates to the show over the weekend.
Yeah, it's like, so if you go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution now, your dollar is matched. So we're going to do a little match math quiz with you guys. Ready?
So, Jeremiah, if somebody gives us $2, how much will it end up being?
$4.
Okay. Tom, if somebody gives us $7.50, how much would that end up being?
$15.
Oh. Yay! Do me.
Fausto, if somebody gives us $37.28.
Oh, why did you give me the hard one?
How much would that be?
$37.28, that would be 56 cents. Uh-huh. And what was the first digit?
I don't remember.
74. So that would be 74. Yeah.
74. So if they gave us 190,
what the hell? It's just multiplied by
56
two.
Cents.
You lost your calculator? You have an iPhone.
That's
use
the
it.
Math game.
So it's going to be matched feastoffun.com/iPhone. Hey, I want to hear your thoughts on this because you really were studying to become a priest.
I really was, yes.
At the seminary.
Studying. And by studying is because people were pounding your door and being like...
Is that guy still stalking you at all?
No, did not that much. Up? Every now and
he
again, I get
to,
something...
Like
yesterday... Every now and again, I get something really nasty, and I always wonder... I wonder if that's him, like... But
you get something nasty in an email or something? Or?
Yesterday, someone left the nastiest Facebook post on my wall.
Oh, I want to know what they said.
I should have taken a screenshot of it, but...
What did they say?
It was like... you're a horrible musician, you and your career, in quotes, and... I love the and he said part. Something like, I hope you die on the road. Like, it was like really harsh.
Oh, really?
And so usually I get really pissed off and I'm like, oh, this is great. Let's see what people say as a response to this. But I was like, it was like 2 a.m. and I wanted to go to bed and I was, you know, I don't have, I just don't have the energy.
So
I just deleted it. Yeah. Wow. Did you ban him?
You go to
facebook.com/privacy and you can block people so they can't see your profile.
I don't know. I went to his page because I'm like, well, who is this dude? Mm-hmm. He had like 4 friends. And I was like,
So it's a fake one.
I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
It's some teenager. I've been inundated by like 50 or 60 teenagers from Indonesia.
Malaysia.
Yeah. Malaysia.
Yeah, I get a lot too.
And I'm like, what's going on?
Malaysia's okay. It's the ones from Indonesia that usually end up being some kind of weird spam kind of thing, in my experience.
So I don't know what's going on.
They're even Indonesian or what, but it seems weird. They're like, hi, who are you? I'm like, well, you friended me. You should know who I am.
I hate it when people do that. Uh-huh. And I send everybody who friends me, I send them a note, you know, thanking them and starting a conversation. And sometimes the reply is, who are you?
And I'm like, yeah, and you're like, you added me.
Yeah, exactly, bitch. You
know, I just write back, I'm famous.
You know what? The way I started that off with is like, thank you for the friend request. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who I am or what I do. I do that
as well. No, I do it as well.
You start off with that, and they still write back, who are you?
Yeah, thanks for the ad, typically. Yeah, exactly. And then they say, who are you? And I'm,
you know, part of it is that I think Facebook is run on con artists, whereas Twitter, according to Pistachio, Laura Fitton, is run on love.
Ah, what?
And I was like, oh, maybe not. Maybe or maybe not, you know. But Twitter says, relax, people. They just made an announcement. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're not going to sabotage or hack your feeds to make ourselves rich. We're going to try to make it so everybody wins.
What I didn't understand is they don't make any money. They've got to be
They're starting.
Money.
They launched their monetization strategy this week.
Well, who is it? I mean, is it dude in his house? I mean, how are they functioning
Right now, it's being supported financially by
investors.
By investors. And like this podcast is supported by the people who support it. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody writes a check and says, I'm going to go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution. And that money helps to create this podcast and this website, and hopefully one day it'll stand on its own two legs.
Because their idea was to really get it out there and get people addicted to it and hooked on it, and then start putting the ads in. Because I mean, they had always planned on putting ads in. It was a question of when, like, what was the tipping point?
Yeah,
you know? A lot of websites are actually run like drug dealers. They get you hooked on it, and then they charge you for it, and then the battle axe comes down. So this is what the Pope said. Now Pope Benedict the XVI or Hitler the Second or Hypocrite the 642 he's spreading the blame for his recent priest abuse troubles pretty thin earlier last week, saying that all Christians must repent for the sins of the Catholic Church.
Oh, so the everybody else has done it except for those molesting priests?
Pretty much. He says, I must say we Christians, even in recent times, have often avoided the word repent, which seemed too tough. Agreed. The Pope said at a mass, but now, under attack from the world, which has been telling us about our sins, we realize that it's necessary to repent. In other words, recognize what is wrong in our lives.
And I think Catholics, I think, have always avoided that word repent, whereas like evangelicals love it. So I think it just is kind of showing that the church is becoming more evangelical.
Well, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you can talk about repenting all you want, but are you really?
Right. Are you doing it? Or are you still just going to cover up the next
I don't know why we're still paying attention. Yeah, I used to think, and this is why I joined the Catholic Church. I used to think, oh, there's so many problems that I want to fix. There's so many people that are alienated. There's so many people I want to reconcile. The best way to do that is from within the church. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have all these problems with the church. And we won't even get into the Catholic Church in Washington, D.C. because they're ridiculous right now. But now I think, why? Why doesn't everybody just stop giving them their money and stop paying attention? I mean,
people, listen, they grow up in this faith and that's what they believe in and it's what they're part of. And so it's,
I don't know.
But they're in a crisis. Would it be fair to characterize them? They're in a crisis mode right now. And much like somebody who's caught molesting a child, they'll say, I'm the victim. You know?
Yeah. And that's what they're doing. But I don't think that the crisis is any different than the crisis, you know, 8 years ago was. Mm. So it's like, you know, it's interesting to see them playing this victim role. So this card so heavily, because, They're not the victims. Being accountable mm-hmm. for molesting and raping people does not make you a victim. I'm
sorry. Well, the thing is, though, if you're a victim, somebody's going to believe you. You don't have to have every...
Of course.
Like P.T. Barton said,
there's millions of people uh-huh. that are in the congregation mm-hmm. to, you know, who say my priest could have never done that, mm-hmm. you know, and wholly support him. And that's... That's really
sad. Are priests out there that, you know, the majority of them are probably, you know, are very good people that would never
do it. Of course.
Do it.
No, absolutely. And there's some amazingly great people in the Catholic Church. But as a whole,
dump it.
I would say, yeah, you can do that. You can uh-huh. do that without the church. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the way I feel.
So how do you social change and how does your music and this PowerPoint presentation
absolutely
a continuation
people,
of that?
You know, people ask me all the time, like, wow, that must have been so different. Like, what were you like then? You know what I mean? And I'm like, I was the same exact person. Mm-hmm. I was working for the same thing.
They changed, man.
No, it's just a, you know, it's just a different platform. You know, right. I'm always going to be working for education and communication mm-hmm. and reconciliation and interreligious dialogue and ecumenism and all these great things. You know, my platform just may change.
Has your own personal religious beliefs changed, or do you believe?
No, I don't even consider myself a Christian.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why? What? How did that change come about?
Well, I never really had kind of that connection, that Jesus connection. Like I really was more into like contemplative prayer and you know, had more of a sense of connection with like a greater being or like a God. And I've always had issues with the contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the humanity and deity of Jesus and the concept of the Trinity as a whole. I know that's a lot in one sentence. So, I mean, at this point, I'm just like, eh.
Let's have fun.
Not let's have fun, but you know what? It's not. I don't buy the tenets you have to buy to be a Christian. I buy a lot of the good lessons.
See, I love mythology and I love storytelling and I love the ability to create parables ways to remember the things that we need to remember in our everyday lives so we are good to each other.
Can you give me one of your parables? A parable
sure.
of Fausto?
As RuPaul's like to say, step out of my way, bitch, I want to cut you. That's my new one. Attribute any kind of crazy thing and just say, as RuPaul likes to say mm-hmm. fuck off, bitches. Who's the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race? Me. For being seen with you losers. No, but so anyways, the thing about it is the real world is so much more incredible. You know, the earth is like much older than the Catholic Church likes to say it is. That our biology and the fact that life exists at all is such a amazing, phenomenal thing that to try to explain it away with some very simple mythological construction is not doing justice to the complexity that
True.
The world is.
I agree.
And to sort of like stand and try to contemplate the complexity of existence is really something that can get you in touch with something very deep inside you.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Yeah, and for me, that's not Jesus. For me, that doesn't include Jesus.
It's DNA, honey. It's like, yeah. I'm just fascinated that there's all that code inside us.
It's crazy.
You know?
We're Cylons. Crazy.
We're the Cylons. Tap in. So I'm so sad that we have so much to talk about, and it's just always great time to having you on the show, Tom. And
well, thank you.
And your music. And Jeremiah, what an amazing discovery.
Why, thank you. Yay. Thank you so much for having us.
What a great come on autumn and stay and back to Arkansas.
Gotten to stay yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I'm like Paula Abdul.
Mm. So yeah, we're gonna add on a real. I mean, I'm glad we're talking about the Catholic Church because this song was a song. This is a story of my leaving the Catholic Church. Essentially, when I left seminary the last night, I quit. So it was this really big drag story, and I quit and I packed and, you know, I told everybody to go fuck themselves, and I like found a house and I moved in 24 hours. But that started at like, you know, 3 p.m. So there was a night where I was like sitting there, I'd packed my stuff. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to be the next morning. And I thought to myself, like any good Catholic seminary does, there's no way I'm going to sleep in this house again one night. I'm going to go find someone to sleep with, right?
Ooh.
So.
Scandal.
I know, right? So I did. And I absolutely did. And I went and I found someone. And he had no idea what he was getting into. He didn't know how crazy and emotional I was going to be. And so we spent the night, you know, I spent the night screaming and then crying and then making love and then crying and screaming because I was a total wreck. I mean, it was like, yeah, he was like, he
sounds
must have
fantastic,
been like,
Tom.
He must have been like, why in the hell did I answer that Craigslist ad? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, no. But
and that guy became Mike, your host partner.
No.
Oh, okay.
But no, I mean, he really was only in my life for one night, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that one night, because that one night, you know, he was really tender and compassionate and everything I needed at that moment. And I'm just really, really grateful to have met him, even if he was only in my life for that one night.
Wow.
That's
well,
intense.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
No problem.
And, you know, I wish I would have known you when you were crazy and horny.
Crazy. Wow, I want to remind people too that they can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/feastoffun.
And yeah, and Tom Goss is on on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter / Tom Goss Music.
Tom Goss Music.
Who's Tom Goss on Twitter?
You know, there's a tomgoss.com. It's like somebody in I don't know, he's an architect or something.
Oh, it's a squatter. Somebody's just sitting on the thing, not using it.
Yeah, so
let's hope that guy
I pretty much
mail.
Just had to brand everything as Tom Goss Music just to keep the continuity of it.
Right on.
That's good. And Jeremiah?
Yes, J. Clark Music on Twitter.
Fabulous. And will you follow me? I may not follow you back, though. Clark Music. Let's see how good your tweets are. Nashville, we are here and ready to play at the Out Central on Church Street.
We were in Nashville last night, by the way.
I can't believe so.
I swear I did.
You were in Nashville last
night. We were in Nashville last night. No, after our show, we drove to Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And then we woke up and drove here.
And then you were off to Appleton and then...
Before we take off, I want to hear about the story about the swans, the gay swans, because we got to share this with the listeners.
The
really
gay
fast.
Swans. Okay, so there's gay swans in the UK, and they set up a nest in the world's only swanery in Dorset County in England. And so they came together in 2002, and they fight and squabble and squawk at each other, but they always end up back together, and they sit on the nest together as though they were actually like raising a chick or laying on an egg. And they say that they're very sweet.
And that's the moral of the story today. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You. Thank
bye
you.
Bye, everyone.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
In wintertime is all right. And you can spend the night. Taste my soft, warm skin. Breathe my breath on in. And preachers preach too much. The devil's in each touch. But if touch is all it takes, then I'll greet each flame. So stay with me tonight. So stay with me till the morning time. Love defined as is, it can't be all God's wish, 'cause God would pass it out and never laugh so loud. And every soul alight, and each husband and each wife, and holding up their hats, and carry till the end. So stay
tonight. So stay with me until the morning time, and until then we will share no lies, and until then our souls have no disguise, and until then won't you hold me tight? Won't you share my life? And when the morning comes, still we're surely one. Now go touch another life. And as you have touched mine, so go, so go, so go, so go.